Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Question for you. Would you rather pay $150 a month or $15 a month to work out with the same high-quality gym equipment? At Planet Fitness, you can get top-tier equipment for $15 a month. Plus, save $28 or more when you join now during our Strong Choice Sale. Our weights weigh the same, you just don't pay the same. Enjoy free fitness training and 24-hour access at most clubs, all in the judgment-free zone. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends October 10th. See club for details.
Hi, welcome to FitzDog Radio. It's Greg Fitzsimmons. We're just a week out from Columbus Day, Indigenous People Day. So I don't know what that means. When does the weekend end for me? I have no difference. I work on the weekends generally. I work during the week. I work 7 days a week. I'm either putting out podcasts, doing stand-up comedy, traveling, responding to social media, putting out videos, doing other people's podcasts. It's fucking relentless. And this weekend, I just crashed out. I just watched sports for 2 days. I watched the Mets. Great fucking series going on with the Mets and the Phillies right now. The Dodgers are playing the Padres. I watched a lot of football. I watched the Rams almost do it. Anyway, what are you going to say? What are you going to say about sports that hasn't already been said? I'm not your sports guy. I'm just a guy. I'm a guy wearing the South African rugby hat, the Springboks. Going to South Africa for Christmas this year with my whole family and my wife's brother, sister, cousins, mother. Everybody's going to South Africa. We're going for like 2.5 weeks. Safaris, Cape Town. It's going to be insane. So looking forward to that. Anybody who has some suggestions about what to do in Cape Town, hit me up. Restaurants, parks, whatever. Up for everything. I think we're going to hike Table Mountain because my knee is good. My knee, I got an MRI to see if I have a meniscus problem. I'll get the results today. Shoulder surgery was last week. I have not been able to lift my shoulder above here. If you're just listening and not watching, about 30 degrees up. I can now raise it completely above my head. Miracle surgery. Got to thank the folks over at UCLA. Forget the guy's name. Smith, Dr. Smith. We went walking yesterday. Me and the wife went down to Marina Del Rey. We were walking around the docks in the marina, looking at the boats, looking at the sea lions. It smelled bad. When you got sea lions, it's a bad smell. That's a given. And then there was this setup. There's this kind of concert area, and it was set up with a bunch of people. It was like a community bongo fucking tambourine drum circle setup, and there was only two people playing drums, and they invited us in to join in, and you could play any instrument and just jam with them, and I didn't, and it bothered me for the rest of the day. I was like, what happened to me? Where's my spontaneity? Like, I almost want to get a tattoo that says yes. Say fucking yes to everything. Me and Annie Letterman took a walk yesterday by Venice Beach. They were having some kind of a Coachella situation at Venice Beach that was starting a few hours later. I didn't go back and go to that. What the fuck am I doing? I need to get out. I need to have some adventures. I was doing that all year, and then I just have gotten so caught up with the stress of putting out this special, and I need to detach and have some fun again. Who wants to have some fun? I want to get a mountain bike, start mountain biking. I want to go to the horse track, bet on some races. I don't know what else. I talked to my wife about us becoming fluid, gender fluid. She didn't seem interested. Her cousin, I just finished a book by her cousin, Rachel Kushner, has a new novel out. It's called Creation Lake. It's incredible. It's one of the best novels I've read in the last 10 years. And it's actually on the short list for the Booker Prize. If you don't know about literature, the Booker Prize is the, there's the Pulitzer Prize and there's the Booker Prize. And the Booker Prize is one of the most prestigious things a writer can win. And she is in the top six books. I think they announced next month who won it, but it's a huge honor. She's been on the Booker Prize list before. We're hoping she wins it, but pick it up. It's a great kind of a little bit of a spy novel, but just incredible language, great ideas. Check it out. In the meantime, there's a lot of misinformation being spread right now about a lot of things, but going into the election, keep your ears and eyes open. Don't go in on stories just because you're hearing them said again and again. That's an old playbook. Yeah, they're saying now that Biden is not giving money to FEMA victims in Florida because it's all going to illegal. That's all been debunked. Look it up. And just be wary, because 30% of all the comments and posts on social media related to politics, they just did a study, are coming from China and Russia and North Korea. So just be wary, people. I'm not telling you who to vote for, but just don't get caught up in these fad stories that pop up out of nowhere and feel a little conspiratorial. If they don't make sense out of the gate, just research them a little bit. Yeah, that's all. I mean, the rest of the world doesn't like us. You read about the Lebanese pagers exploding, you know, Israel wiring the Lebanese pagers to explode. And I just thought to myself, thank God all of our electronics aren't being produced by our enemy. I mean, how long until this laptop halfway through a podcast bursts into flame? Probably my highest rated podcast. It's all anybody cares about. Destruction. Speaking of destruction, I'm going to be destroying in these states coming up. Tulsa, Oklahoma, this weekend, October 10th through the 12th at Bricktown Comedy Club. Kansas City Funny Bone next week, October 18 and 19. Helium in Philly, November 7th through the 9th. Then I'm coming to Tacoma, Tempe, San Francisco, Cleveland, Atlanta, Janesville. Get on fitzdog.com. Get yourself some tickets. Come out and see some live comedy. Also, very excited to announce the special just hit 400,000 views, which is, again, a tribute to you guys. I know that the main support for this special has come from the listeners of this podcast and Sunday Papers and Childish, and the comments that you leave help with the algorithm. Thank you for all the generous donations, all of it. It's been incredible. It's going to been a great month. And I did not expect to be this far along after a month. So God bless. And also God bless MyBookie. Support for FitzDog Radio comes from MyBookie. It's really fun. Look, MyBookie is a great way to bet because you can do it anywhere. Like, you know, I've got an hour to kill between physical therapy and meeting my son for lunch. I can sit in my car and I can get on MyBookie and I can get really excited about a lot of different kinds of bets, underdog, upset, backdoor coverage, shootout. I mean, there's so many cool ways to bet. And like this weekend, I had a bunch of bets going and it made me glued to the TV. I always love watching sports, but when I'm involved with some bets, and it, obviously in a healthy way, don't get out of control, people. But with MyBookie, you're cashing in on risk-free bets. There's thousands of cash prizes, epic rewards every week, and you can bet on any game, anytime. Click my link or visit mybookie.ag. Use promo code FITZ, F-I-T-Z, to get a head start. It's their 10th anniversary. So they are doing things that don't even make sense. They've got a thing called Risk-Free Thursdays. And if your boosted bet doesn't hit, you get your money back. I mean, why? Where's the downside there? Weekly, no sweat, win-win bets all season long. So sign up now at mybookie.ag. Use promo code FITZ, that's F-I-T-Z, to cash in on double deposit bonus. You can literally double the cash in your account before you even place your first bet. But don't wait on it. It's only going to be for a limited time. Turn that football knowledge into big-time payouts with MyBookie. And if you've been playing for a while, they got something for you. Brand new loyalty rewards program in MyBookie Plus. Simple. The more you play, the more you earn. You progress through tiers, exclusive promotions. So make your football season a winning season with MyBookie. Don't do what I did last week. Do not bet on the Rams. Just don't do it. Took it as a straight-up bet. Broke my heart again. And if you bet on against the Giants, which would be your instinct, you lost there too. But 49ers, oh, that one really hurt. I luckily bet against the 49ers, so I won some money. Anyway, whatever. Get involved with my bookie. So I want to welcome my guest, the great Hira Sultanovich, who you know from so many. You're like me. You just kept showing up. You know?
That's the way you want to put it?
Well, just the Tonight Show. And I mean, we did this show called How to Be a Grown-Up. You know, that went on for two or three seasons. We're journeymen. It's like we're union workers. We get a lunch pail, we go to work.
Listen, I feel like we are the blue collar workers.
Yeah.
Of the stand up circuits.
Yes.
Because the thing is, you'll get a fancy writing job. You know what I mean? And once in a while, I'll get lucky and I'll get like a fancy schmancy job.
Yeah.
And then it's over and we're like, all right, I'm ready for the next one. And they're like, nope, you're going to Albuquerque.
You're going to the funny chuckle, Uncle Nasty on the Jersey Shore in July. Yep. And you're not going to be able to park because there's going to be a lot of Italian people. So you're going to take an Uber to three blocks away.
They don't have waitresses. Everyone just brings their own beer and wine so they can drink however much they want because they don't have a liquor license. It's just pizza, really. It's just a pizza restaurant on the shore.
You're a waiter in a pizza restaurant who's funny. And then if you want to sell your merch after the show, feel free to set it up at the table by the door, but just know they're going to steal a lot of it.
Yeah. So we are that. And either it's A, because we just love it so much, we're not going to ever give up.
Right.
Ain't nothing going to break my stride. Or we have no other skills. We have no other skills.
You have so few skills that, first of all, thanks for doing this last minute. I had two other podcasts lined up for today that both canceled. And then I've been meaning to get you on for so long, and you were the first name that popped in my head. I texted you. 30 seconds later, you're like, what time? And you're here. So thank you.
I love being people's third choice.
Yes.
I really do. No. I'm being honest. It really, at least you're thinking of me.
Yes.
I'm somewhere on the list? What?
I think of you a lot. I think about you as there's two people in this country that I think should be super famous because I think that they have it. They have the magic thing that when you watch them on stage, you sit and you watch and you actually, as a comic, laugh out loud. And you're one of those people. And there's only one other person that I feel like I don't understand why they're not just, you know, selling out arenas.
Well, the manager I'm with right now, the first day I met with him, he goes, why aren't you more famous? And it's like, And now I've been with him for 2 years.
Are you more famous now than you were before?
When people say that, I'm not saying this towards you at all, because I know you love me and I love you. But I did have a woman come up to me a few weeks ago at a club. And she goes, why aren't you more famous? And I said, why aren't you better looking?
Yes. Yes. I know. It's a backhanded compliment.
We should both try harder.
Now, I don't know what it is. Like, you know, I just think that in a weird way, like, it's not just about, I think you and I were parents. And I think when you become a parent, they kind of put like a little badge on you. Like, oh, you're a good person. You're like you have balance. You're not going to work out in this business. You actually care about other human beings, and you're not going to write till 2 a.m, 7 days a week, or you're not going to, you know, go on a road trip that goes to 9 cities and they don't want that. We're disqualified.
A little bit. I agree with that. A little bit of a, let's put her third on the list.
Yeah. Right.
Well, like, we'll check with these people that are single. This chick is, you know, a lesbian with no kids.
Yeah.
And she's a drug addict. And, you know, maybe they're willing to do it. And then
the
mom. I know. And, you know, it's so funny because there are young female comics who are like, how do you do it? How do you find the balance? And I go, oh, you just have to, you know, I give them this like beautiful, like perfectly, like a Hallmark kind of, you know, quote.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, I'm barely holding on. Barely. Like right now, I had to threaten my children for the last half hour. I go, and what happens if you interrupt the podcast?
Yeah. Yeah.
You'll beat us severely. That's right. I mean, like, I have to.
Can you please pick up your computer and do a little pan around the room so we know where you're recording the podcast from? Would you mind doing that?
Me. All right. I'm in my bathroom. But like, you can't tell, right?
No.
Because this is the closet.
It
this is our
great.
Walk-in closet. That's our walk-in closet. So you
get a walk-in closet in the bathroom?
I have a walk-in closet. It's a big bathroom.
Wow.
It's not that big, but yeah.
So you have made it big.
So look, this is
what do we got?
Hair care and skin care.
Oh, nice.
This is my little, this was a pandemic trick.
Yeah.
And then you don't really want to see the toilet, do you?
Yes.
You're making me do that's the there's a toilet.
Our housekeeper came today. I'll show you mine.
You look like you're recording from the room where your wife sends you when she's just fed up.
There's a day bed behind me. Yeah.
That's what it looks like.
That's a day bed.
Like, where she's like, you know what? You and your erections in the other room.
I'm yes, done. There should be a toilet paper roll on the wall.
Is this like one of your kids' rooms? Because now you're an empty nester.
It is. It's my son's old room.
Yeah.
But that's I awesome. Had an office at the Santa Monica Airport that you've been to. You
I
came
went
to my
to
office.
Several times. Yeah. Yeah.
And the lease went up on that. They're tearing it down to make pickleball courts. So they evicted all these independent filmmakers, producers, writers, like architects, all these like little business owners and independent people so they could make fucking pickleball courts.
Once again, the lesbians were chosen over us.
Right.
Once again, this is where you and I made a huge mistake. We should have been in this business as lesbians. We'd be so much better off.
Who is your best Asian friend?
You know, we have a very Asian Latino street.
Really?
So we have we have a lot of, it's, you know, it's a pretty good mix. It's a lot of Asians and Latinos.
Wow.
And then I grew up in San Francisco. I mean, legally, you have to have 5 Asian friends. It's like a city ordinance. They'll fine you if you don't. So I grew up with a lot of Asian kids. I grew up with a lot of everything.
All right. You know, so who's your best Asian friend?
I mean, I haven't seen her in a while because she has teenage boys, but Lisa.
Okay.
Lisa, I would say.
Is it Lee Sa? Is that her name?
You racist. Ah, how dare you?
So, all right. So I want to talk to you about, you've got this new podcast, and I don't know that you've asked me to do it, actually.
Oh, wait. What new podcast?
Are you doing that one in the spa, in the steam room?
Oh, my talk show.
Yeah.
That's a talk show.
What's a podcast? Isn't a podcast a talk show?
Well, it's more of like Between Two Ferns type of talk show.
Where does it air?
On my Instagram? I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, it just social.
You mean the way my video podcast airs on YouTube and Instagram?
Yeah.
Where we talk?
Where we're talking right now. We're on the YouTube.
And on yours, you talk to people?
Yes. All right, fine. It's a podcast, but they're 3 minutes. They're 3 minutes long. And yes, I do want you, and I want you naked inside of it. Will you get naked?
Is that what people do?
I mean, some people.
I watched a couple of them, and I saw Tom Papa start with a shirt on and then end with his shirt off.
Correct. Yeah.
Has anybody gone fully nude?
I know Alonzo left his clothes on all the way. I only remember the people that left their clothes all on and wouldn't even get into a bathing suit. Kelsey Cook is allergic to everything. So she was allergic to the wood inside of the sauna.
So she had to have a bathing suit on.
So she was in a blazer inside
now,
of a sauna.
You're pixelated. Are you nude?
Completely.
No pasties or anything?
Just full on nips and bush.
I'll do it. I'll go nude. No, you know what? I went to this place in Portland, Oregon.
Yeah.
And it's called the Everett House. So I was up there and I was at the club and I go, do you know a place where I can get a massage? And they said, yeah, there's this place called the Everett House. And it's this old Victorian and kind of on the outskirts of town. And I get this really great massage. And then I'm checking out. And then a lady goes, by the way, we also have a spa if you want to go. There's a steam room and a dry sauna and a hot tub and it's like an extra $10. You can go there. And I was like, oh, that sounds great. And she goes, I should let you know it's clothing optional. And I was like, well, which option are people going with today? And she's like, nude, like people are nude. And I was like, all right. I was titillated. I was like, I definitely want to see some nude people. And then there was a part of me that was like, I kind of want to be nude. So I called my wife and I asked her permission. And she laughed for like 7 minutes. She just laughed. And then I was like, so you're not like worried something would happen. And then she laughed even longer.
She's like, I hope something happens. Take some pressure off of me for once.
Right. I don't even want to be nude around you. And I don't want you nude around me. So I go in and it was great. Well, first of all, talk about bushes. It was Portland. So the women, it was like from kneecaps to belly button was just, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I go in and I was like, you know, I think everybody has like body issues. And I think going nude is actually very freeing. I think it makes you feel very kind of empowered once you break through.
Well, you know, I once dragged Tom Papa, speaking of Tom, to a Russian banya. Pretty authentic, but it's gotten Americanized because, you know, it was in San Francisco where I grew up. But it's pretty as authentic as you can get.
Yeah.
And it's also clothing optional. Now, he and I are coworkers, so we said, obviously, we're going to be wearing our bathing suits. And most people opted out.
You mean most people had bathing suits on?
No, they opted out of the clothing.
And it's like you go into hot tubs and everything, co-ed?
Yeah, there's two big saunas. They're three stories high because that's how Russians do them. Like they're very crazy and hot and they beat you with, I think I even like, I was like, I'm treating you. And I got them a thing where they beat him with sticks. And, but you know, we're coworkers. you know, we're friends. We're both married. But to see dongs together.
Yeah.
It's a bonding experience. It really is. Because we both were like we saw this one guy and we looked at each other and we were like, holy shit.
Yeah. Like,
this is incredible. Like that should be in a museum. You know what I mean? Like it was like a circus act, right? And then, you know, you see a lot of people that, you know, put a bathing suit on, right?
Right.
But that was like, if you and I went and I took you to that Russian banya, and we saw dongs together, it would fuse our relationship even stronger.
I think so.
Right?
Yeah, I went
to see butts together. Like that's a lot. That's a big deal.
Well, you see it. And what's great about being with somebody else is like when I was alone at it, it felt like I felt very alone. I felt like I needed somebody to elbow and point and snicker and, you know, act the way you should around naked people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Making fun.
And then.
But then you get two comics. Come on.
Yeah. Right, right, right. So did you get massages or was it just the steam and?
We just got the vieniki. Vieniki is when they beat you.
Yeah.
Did he get them? Maybe. We've gone several times.
Really?
Yeah, because when he does Cobbs or, you know, whatever, Palace of Fine Arts or, you know what I mean? Like he brings me because he knows I'm from there. So I can go see family and I have cousins come out and all that.
Nice.
So now it's like a tradition.
Oh, so that's where this place is in San Francisco.
Yes.
Oh, is there one in LA?
Clothing optional? No, but there is a Russian banya. But it's like you got to be okay sitting with some mafia guys.
Really?
You know, they just killed someone and they're here to wash off all the, you know, gunpowder and evidence.
And I've seen a lot of these mafia series and sometimes it does spill over into the steam room.
Of course.
Yeah. There's all.
I was raised in steam rooms and saunas, like from eight years old.
Really?
Yeah.
So did you see your parents naked?
Not my dad, but my mom. Yes.
Yeah. Right.
But like, it's so normal for me.
Yeah.
So normal.
Right. Yeah. Right. We went to a beach. Me and my wife had just been dating for like maybe a few months. Yeah, it was like 3 months. And so we went to Martha's Vineyard with my friend. His name is Ross Broccoli. And yeah, so Martha's Vineyard, we got to this beach. We're walking along and all of a sudden, like nobody had clothes on. And Ross had his girlfriend. She was kind of a heroin addict. I don't know if you call her a girlfriend, but she was like a model slash heroin addict. And we were living in New York at the time. So we're walking along, all of a sudden everybody's nude. And
Martha's Vineyard? Yeah,
Martha's Vineyard has a nude beach. It's called I can't remember the name.
Yeah.
And so he's like, should we do it? And everybody's looking at each other like, all right. So we took off all our clothes and everybody was kind of hiding their stuff. And like within a half hour, we're playing Frisbee. We're riding waves. It was awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, there is something very freeing. I think everyone should try it at least once. And
yeah.
Just see, my mom used to go to nudist colonies all the time.
Really?
All the time. It drove me crazy as a teenager. Because I don't know, I was just like, what if you see my teacher there? You know, because they were all around like San Francisco. It was all like in, and that's why I won't go naked in the Russian banya, because my fear is I will see one of my dad's friends.
Your dad's friends don't have the internet? They can look at you.
But no, I'm saying I would never go naked at that Russian banya in San Francisco.
Right. Yeah.
Because then next thing I know, I see Igor walking around the corner. I can't. I can't do it. But my mom would go all the time.
Now, was that a Russian thing or was that a hippie thing?
The one that she went to was hippies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. That was like leftover from the hippies days.
So was she a little bit of a hippie?
Well, the thing is, it didn't matter because she was a Soviet.
Yeah.
So that translated into the hippie language.
Oh, because, of course, hippies are kind of socialists. Yeah.
There you go.
Got it.
But she didn't have to be a hippie because we were like new immigrants. And so, you know, any place for her to go be naked and sweat, she's like, I have to go. Like she was like addicted. And now I'm addicted. And I understand that now. You know, I have a sauna in my backyard.
I can't wait. Sign me up. I'm gonna come do
Listen,
it.
we're gonna start shooting again.
How hot is the sauna?
It's not as hot as I would like, but you as a pale, white, weak Irishman, you'll it'll be
You
quite
say
hot for
meek
you.
or weak?
Both. Meek weak. Meek and weak. It's not that bad. It's fine. You'll be fine. It's like just under 170. That to me is a pussy
Jesus,
temperature.
really?
No, it needs to be
170?
185, 190. I prefer
Damn.
200. I want to walk into a sauna and regret it immediately. That's how you know it's good. When you walk in, you're like, oh no. You know, like when you dip your toe into a jacuzzi that's a little too hot and you're like, I'm not gonna be able to do this, but you go in anyway. That's what it should be. It should be a immediate regret.
Well, I know that cold plunges were all the rage, and then all of a sudden, hot saunas are replacing. I don't know if they're replacing cold plunges, but people are using them in conjunction now with the hot plunge, with the cold plunge.
That's you white people. Like, you have to understand, Soviets have been doing this for eons. Yes, I went when I went to Moscow, I ran into a freezing cold lake
You did.
after, yes,
Straight out of the
after
sauna?
200 degree sauna, I was beaten to a pulp. This woman beat me like I was Brezhnev. You know what I mean? Like she beat me with these branches. And then I ran off of a dock into a cold lake. Freezing cold, freezing cold. Yeah, so
I
you
see,
do
I
that.
love cold plunges. I've got
I
a
love how
thing of
Joe Rogan is like, oh, I can do a cold plunge. Yeah, Joe, welcome. Welcome to my entire childhood. Kidding. That was great.
You don't have to say that.
I
He
do
knows
actually
he's
like Joe.
great.
Can I tell you, I actually hide liking Joe more than say, like I pretend like I like him. A lot of comics will give you shit for liking Joe Rogan. I'm like, the guy has an entertaining podcast.
I just taped my new special in his club, and then he had me on and he promoted it, and we got a lot of views.
I
He
can't wait to watch it. When does it come
it's
out?
out. It's out now. It's been out for a few weeks. We just hit 400,000 views today.
Come on. Grapefruit Simmons, that is amazing. Where can I watch it?
On YouTube, you could
Okay.
just get on there for free,
What's it
and
called?
it's called You Know Me.
I love it. I love it. I
You
love that.
know?
I can already imagine it being amazing, freaking amazing.
Well, here's the
Last time I
thing.
saw you destroyed.
Well, thank you very
Destroyed.
much. I feel like this special was a long time coming because I was going to record it right when the pandemic happened. I had it ready, and then it got stalled out for another 4 years. So this hour of material I've been hammering out for a while, and now I'm at that point where I recorded it a year ago, so now I've got pretty much a new hour, and I feel so much more excited about it. I was so sick of that material. It was coming out of my mouth, and especially when you're doing five shows in a weekend and you're doing the same set, and by the last show you're just like, I hate myself. I can't do this anymore.
But don't you feel like that's what made it better? Just doing it over and over and over. And yeah. My one thing is I hate when the feature watches me when I'm doing, you know, my fifth show of a weekend. And they feel like I know all your secrets. I know all your tricks now.
That's so funny you say that because, like, I bring people on the road with me, and then after a while, I don't bring them anymore. And it's because I'm embarrassed that they're going to see me doing the same hour. I've never said that out loud before.
It's the truth.
But
Sorry, it is the truth. I'm with you.
I want somebody to be on the side of the stage, pie-eyed, going, "This guy's
Right.
brilliant." Not going like
Right.
mouthing the jokes,
Right.
and then you notice 10 minutes in they leave the showroom, and you're like, oh God, I'm not even interesting anymore.
Yes, 100%. I've been there. Yeah, I'm really excited. I watch I watch specials like podcasts. So don't get upset, but I'll be plugging it in and then driving down to, like, you know, Hermosa Comedy and Magic, and I'll be listening to your
special. Oh, I love it. Are there any that I have not seen that I should see? Any specials that that you love?
I haven't put out a new one in a while. You know, I shot this really weird, random little half hour thing right at the height of COVID.
Yeah.
For Epics. Remember Epics?
Yeah.
Get into comedy. And that's the last thing I did. That's the last thing I did.
But weren't you doing something with 800 Pound Gorilla? Are you going to?
Yeah, they just re-released an old one, though.
Oh, got it. We re-released an old one. Because that's who produced my special.
Oh, they're great.
They produced it, and then they distributed it, which is a whole different company. They're like two different companies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I want to do a new one, but I'm kind of in this place where, and I hate to talk too much inside baseball. I hope your fans of your podcast don't mind. But I am trying to figure out my comedy voice after 20 plus years.
Interesting.
It's changed.
I hope so. I think it's important.
Like, in a way where I'm like, I have to rethink every single joke and topic and direction mm-hmm. and point of view.
That's great. That's great.
So it's fun and exciting, but also like, what the hell am I doing? Just do what works.
Yeah.
But you can't do what works forever, right? You got to stretch a little bit.
Yeah, I think you got to stretch a little bit. And, you know, and I think you have to sort of take stock in yourself when the set's not going great and have the discipline to go, well, it's not going to go great until you keep doing it. Like, if you chicken out of doing it halfway through the set because, and you always make an excuse, well, it's Friday night late show, I'm in Cleveland. Like, there's always a reason to, like, cheat and go back to your old material. And
yes.
And I think that the key is to have the discipline to take the punches and go down and know that the only way the set's going to get great is when you are married to it.
But also, have you done this? Have you, like, taken a whole different direction in your stand-up?
I feel like my new hour is a very different direction than my old hour.
Do you watch other comics?
I try not to.
Okay. See, I don't understand that. I watch everybody.
Mm.
And I think I have to stop. Because I just saw, and I don't know if it's a new Larry the Cable Guy. I'm going to assume it's old. I don't think he's really touring. But he did a joke of mine. And it could be a coincidence. I'm not saying he took it. I'm saying he did a joke.
Well, I think he has writers. So he may not have taken the joke. One of his writers might have taken the joke.
100%.
Yeah.
And I know, and I've met him, and he's really sweet.
I just did his podcast last week.
Yeah, I've done his podcast. I met him backstage at the Tonight Show. This is not against him, but I'm just saying I watched him. He randomly came up on my feed. I was like, oh, let me watch this. And then I watch and I'm like, son of a bitch. So, but the thing is, I have to stop doing it.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
At Humana, our Medicare Advantage plans give you coverage and care you can count on, along with guided support to help you feel your best. You could have a plan with a $0 premium or an all-in-one plan that may include medical and prescription coverage, as well as routine dental, vision, and hearing. Learn more at gethumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare.
Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.
1,000% I'm going to stop doing it.
That's kind of the reason I don't do it, is I'm afraid. I'm 58 years old. My mind is not what it used to be. And if I watch a lot of stand-up and then I try to write some stand-up, I'm so worried that somebody's idea is going to slip into my writing. And so if I just watch the people that I really love, like Dave Attell's last special, then
so great.
I know I'm not taking Dave Attell's material, you know? But if I watch a guy who's like, you know, decent, I don't know, a premise might just lodge itself in the back of my mind.
Sure. Premises, I feel like, look, we all share living experiences, right? If you're married or you're dating or you're this, or you're, even when you're single, you can have the same premise as a married person.
Right.
You know what I mean? I don't think he or his writers maybe took it. I know I didn't take it from him, but I just saw it and I've been doing this joke for years.
Yeah.
Way too long. But it's just because he's the bigger name, I know I have to drop it.
Right. Right.
And it's heartbreaking.
Yep. Yep.
But I don't want to ever, for anyone to ever think.
But I think that every time you drop a joke, you're going to replace it with a joke, and you have to believe that that's going to be a better joke, that you're growing as a comic.
Right.
You're coming. I mean, it doesn't matter how many years I've been doing it for 35 years. I still feel like I'm figuring out my voice. I'm peeling back layers of the onion. Every joke I write is like, the joke writing is sharper than it used to be. I'm less hacky than I used to be. And so it's kind of an opportunity to drop a joke when somebody does it. You know?
Yeah. I had to drop one of my favorites a few months ago. I saw Russell Peter do it.
No, really?
Again, this is nothing against Russell Peter.
No, it happens. It just happens.
I was like, all right. That was one of my favorites, but.
Well, that's why you got to put out your specials. Put out another special, because then you're claiming the joke.
That is true.
Yeah.
That is true. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. I need to work on it. I have to drive kids to flag football and gymnastics, Greg Fitzsimmons.
Yeah.
That's
what do you mean? So that it doesn't give you time to write? Is that what you're saying?
I feel like I'm just, you know, I have a new, speaking of new jokes, here, I'll tell you one of my new jokes. I have two different parenting styles.
Okay, I love this. Okay. First of all, you saying that right now makes me think you and I are going to get on Zoom calls once a week with premises, and we're going to write. We're going to write for an hour a week.
I love that.
Okay, good.
Because if I have a standing appointment, I don't miss my appointments.
Great.
So one of my parenting styles, the first parenting style I have, is where I'm constantly a little bit irritated and agitated and running late and hungry. And I have stains on my clothes and I'm yelling. And then my other parenting style is the same. That's the bit.
But the funny thing about that is, in the moment, you feel like you're in one mode or the other. You actually feel like you're doing a better job. And then you look back and you go, oh no, I was the same person.
Exactly the same.
Yeah.
I was still irritated and agitated and running late and hungry and thirsty, and I have to pee. I always have to pee just a little.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's why you do your Kegel exercises.
I try. But I want to do that for sure.
Okay.
For sure. Because that's how I go. That's how I'll go do a yoga class. I signed up for it. I'm like, all right, it's in the calendar.
All right. Here's a new premise that I have. Something about the Virgin Mary. Like, she was a virgin. Now, are you Catholic?
Do I look?
Are you Russian? Oh, you're Jewish.
What about this Hava Magilla face?
Yeah.
What about this?
Happy New Year. So like the Virgin Mary, I think about because like she had a hook, you know, she was on brand. There's a lot of Marys. She was the virgin. She was the one that was a virgin. And so God, like, why is it that God needed to bring the Messiah into the world through a vagina that had never been penetrated by a penis? Like when I think about all the shame I have about sex, it's all in the pages of that Bible. Why was it like there couldn't have been jizz in there? Like it couldn't have been like, you know, a little dribble of jizz. It couldn't have been just the crown, like nothing. It had to be just like a corridor, like when the president is coming, how they clear the hallway. Like it has to be perfect and pristine.
Well, I, as a Jew looking in on this, am also very perplexed of like why you guys have so much shame around sex. And I think it's because of the virgin part. It's because of that. It's because like they had to, you know, give her that title. I don't think she was a virgin. I do
TMZ,
not.
TMZ is going to cover this tomorrow.
She was not a virgin. Every single picture I've seen of her, she's like a smoke show. Mary's pretty hot.
Mary's pretty hot.
She's hot. There's no way. But you know,
I mean,
like body count.
there was a lot of virgins out there God could have picked. He got to pick
Right?
any
He
woman
picked the
he
one with a
wanted.
nice rack. She
That's
has a
right.
nice rack. So I don't believe that she was a virgin. I think it's just kind of like, you know, the Kardashians where they just market and the brand, like you said, the branding and, you know, and speaking of Kardashians, we had to clear the hallway at the Tonight Show for Kim Kardashian.
Oh, you
I've never
did.
had to do that for anyone else.
Wow.
And there have been much bigger names than her walking down that hallway. And we were all like swept aside. But I don't think she was a virgin. I'm sorry. And I know that ruins like your
Now, are
total
you saying
analysis.
Joe was the father of Jesus Christ, Joseph? Or are you saying
For
that she would?
sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Which
Yeah.
puts Joe in a whole other category. Joe was such a side note in the Bible. He was just a cuck. He was Jerusalem's cuck. And
He
meanwhile,
was.
what you're saying is he's the father of God.
I'm saying Maury Povich did not do a service by saying, Joseph, you are not the father. Like, you need to, yes. It's for sure the father. But here's the thing, like when you know, all of a sudden, let's say Mary was tracking her, you know, her cycle. And she's like, I know we didn't do it last week because it was a famine and we were hungry or whatever, right? And all of a sudden she's pregnant. And he's like, well, whose is it? She's like, God's? I don't know. God? I don't know. I didn't think I was ovulating.
How many Latino women over the years have tried to claim immaculate conception,
Exactly.
you know? And then the
Exactly.
kid comes out and he's crying and he's covered in snot and his head's irregular and you're like, "Sorry. Sorry, Serena. This is not a Messiah."
Not the second coming. This is why I always tell, you know, my husband's Catholic. You know, he went to Catholic school for 12 years,
What do you
right?
mean? I know. What do I got? His Wikipedia page
I don't
open?
know. You know, I'm legally a Catholic. My
Yeah.
last name is Finnegan.
Right. I
Yeah.
never knew that. I don't think
You
I
didn't
ever
know
knew
that.
that.
Well, now you know. Now you know. Now everyone knows. All your listeners can dox me. But you know, I go, of course you wanted to date a Jewish chick. There's no shame. Like we were told, go and give blowjobs. You know, like never in my teenage years did my parents shame anything sexual.
I married, you're preaching the converted. I married a Jew.
I know.
And when I was in college, we didn't have any Jews. I grew up in New York in Tarrytown, which is just outside the city. And it was very Latino, Black, Irish, and Italian. And we had two Jewish kids in the whole town. So we didn't have a lot of exposure to it. And then I went off to college. I went to Boston University,
Oh,
BJU.
yeah.
And it was all Jewish kids from Long Island and, you know, DC. And these women, I could not believe. I had never had sex with a woman who then got up naked and walked to the bathroom and then walked back naked again. And the guy, I was like, the Irish girls, they never got from under the sheets the entire mm-hmm. time.
Yeah. Yes. That's why I'm telling you, it's, you know, we get a blowjob from a nice Jewish girl.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
And then they'll make you a sandwich.
Yep. There was a girl at BU who went off to Israel to a kibbutz after we graduated. And then she came back and she was like a girl that, you know, we were like free in the friends group with. All of a sudden, she started blowing everybody. She said she like discovered it in Israel. Mm-hmm. And then like you would be driving with her and she'd be like, you want a blowjob? And you just pull over and she'd just do it.
Yeah.
And then you'd keep talking on the ride home.
It's like saying, do you want to stop and get a Slurpee?
It was a Slurpee. Yeah.
It was a Slurpee. Good for her. Yeah. Good for that, Rachel. I sent my kid to a Jewish sleepaway camp for 3 weeks for the first time this last summer.
Really?
Now, I went to sleepaway camp. So I know. I don't know. I didn't ask him. It's, you know, it's his private whatever.
So he was what, like 12?
He's 13. He'll be 14 in a couple months.
Did he seem different when he came back?
So he figured some stuff out.
Yeah.
But that's what it's for, right?
It's a safe place to experiment and then tell your friends about it. And then they have information and yeah. you share information and maybe you got a cool counselor and you can get some, you know, it's like it's a very healthy way to, you know, as opposed to me in like, you know, behind the bleachers with an 8-pack. Fingering a girl when it's 21 degrees out and you know what? she's got on jeans and you don't even unsnap them, you just jam your hand down.
Jesus. Oh my God.
It was awful.
What? I hope you've called her and apologized since.
Them.
Oh, them. Okay.
Yeah.
Them. Gotcha.
I was pretty prolific in my day. And I can't say that it was ever meaningful until I got much older. I was in college before I had any kind of a emotion involved in the sexual encounter.
What do they do to you people in Catholic school?
I know.
I am so sorry.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know. I've had to, you know, boy, heal some trauma from my husband.
Oh, really?
Yes. He was taught by nuns and monsignors.
Yeah.
Those people aren't jolly or happy or...
No, a lot of them are evading their sexuality. There's a lot of homosexuality in the Catholic Church because they don't want to sin. So they go, well, I'll hide in the church then.
I mean, look, all religions have their weirdo schmirdos. They all do.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm not trying to put this on Catholics, but... Oof, you know, when my kids, I go, guys, are we cool if we're not too like hocus pocus with the religion? I told my kids, they're like, it's fine. We don't have to be. I told them, I go, I don't know. It's too much.
Well, Catholicism is like gothic. It's heavy.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I grew up, I didn't go to Catholic school, but I went to Catholic, you know, CCD classes after, you know, once a week for my whole life, we'd go to somebody's house on a Wednesday night. And then every Sunday was church and then all the sacraments. And it launched me into a fucking J.R. Tolkien world of believing in crazy shit. I mean, I honestly, Kira, I talked to God. I talked to God a lot. And when I found out, I took a class in high school. I went to a very progressive high school, and they taught we had a book that was called The Bible as World Literature. And so, at the age of 16, I was suddenly being introduced to my parables from my Bible, being written 800 years earlier in a pagan text or in the Quran, and things that preceded the Bible. And it's all the same stories. Mm-hmm. It's right around the winter solstice that the Messiah is born from a virgin, dies, rises from the dead, right around the vernal equinox in the spring.
Yeah.
All these exact, the flood, the Garden of Eden. It's in all these same religions. And I was devastated. I went into a depression. And yeah, it was rough.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Now, did you raise your kids with like religion or
no? But because my wife is not, she was raised culturally Jewish because she grew up on the Upper West Side of Manhattan, which is a very Jewish neighborhood. So she has a great love for it, but she didn't go to temple. And and my mother has tried to keep Catholicism in my kids' lives, and my daughter had a huge response to it. And like, she loves church ever since she was little. She asks about, you know, Jesus ascending into heaven and the transfiguration of the wine into blood and like all that really weird. She loves it. And we went into a church with my mother in Florida, and my daughter was about maybe 8. And we walk into the church and they have, you know, they have the candles set up and you go and you light a candle. So she went over and she lit a candle. And then she kneeled down and she crossed her hands and she put her head down for like 10 minutes. And then she stood up and she walked over and I go, "What were you doing over there?" And she said, "I was praying for your father," who she never met. He died before she was born. And I was like, "All right, let's head out."
How old is she? How old was she?
She was 8 at the time.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's very sweet. Yeah. That's very
I mean,
sweet.
It's a shame. It is a shame because I think growing up with faith gave me a lot. I think it gave me a sense of purpose. It answered a lot of questions. I mean, I don't know.
But didn't Does it religion also give serves- you more questions? Like why?
I think it fucked me up in the end. I think it was a negative in the end. But when you're in it and you're young, it's pretty magical.
So my kids, you know, I like to ask them like deep questions, right? I like to see like where is your head at? And I asked them one day, I go, "What do you guys think you were in a past life?" Right? And my son at the time, I think he was 10, he said, I was a World War II soldier and I died during war.
Whoa.
He said, "I died during the battles." And then my daughter was 6 and she said, "I was a pickle." And then she goes, "Who lived in a hat?" And I was like, maybe I should have introduced religion.
My God. One of those kids, when you're old and you need assistance around that, one of those kids is going to be there for you and have financial means. I think the soldier is going to have he's going to have an IRA account. He's going to have health insurance. He's going to take care of you.
As long as neither of them go into stand-up or comedy in any capacity.
Yep.
Because the younger one, she has impeccable timing.
Oh, no.
When I say, she says things in the most perfect way.
Yeah.
That it's like a double take where I go, are you like taking Groundlings classes? Like behind my back, like what's happening? The other day we were at school. And I pick her up from school and we're holding hands, walking to the car, right? And this older girl comes up to her. She's in 4th grade now. And this like 5th or 6th grader comes up to her. And she goes, "I know who you are." And my daughter and I kind of smile at the girl. You know, we're being polite. And we're like, "Oh, okay." And then as we turn around, she looks at me. She goes, "I have no idea who she is." The way she said it. It was perfect.
Yeah.
It was perfect. Like she just has this timing.
Right.
And it's unbelievable.
You want to hear something crazy?
Yeah.
I have a friend named Matt Wickline, who is a huge writer. He was one of Letterman's big writers during the big years. And then I think he helped create Martin, the show Martin.
Oh.
And then he was the showrunner on Cedric the Entertainer, had this sketch show that I wrote on, and he was one of the showrunners. Anyway, great dude, like a real, but like a real waspy Yale guy. He's, first of all, he's like 6'5", and you know, the hair parted to the side and the crisp Oxford shirts and the extremely well-mannered and very intelligent. And anyway, so we kept in touch over the years, and then our kids ended up going to high school together. And both his kids are super tall, and they were both in the band. And my kids were in the band, so they knew each other. And his daughter ended up going off to like Oberlin College, and she was doing sketch comedy, and she got pretty big doing like TikTok videos and very deadpan. You know, she's tall, she's kind of alternative-ish. I don't know how to describe her. Like, I hate to say, like, she's not a nerd, but she's very deadpan and dry.
Yeah.
Anyway, she's on Saturday Night Live this year, and she's like getting in a ton of stuff. Isn't that amazing?
That's wild.
Yeah. I mean, wow. I used to you know, want to be on SNL, and I'd watch my friends get on SNL, and now I'm watching my friends' kids get on SNL.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's, yeah. I'm telling you, one day, if my kid does get into showbiz, she's going to be hiring us because
yeah,
she's just like she's dark too. She has a dark sense of humor. One day we were like cuddling in bed, and you know, remember when your kid's really little and they still wanted you to like cuddle with them,
yeah,
right? And I was like kissing her head and stroking her hair, and she, you know, she was like touching my arm, and I was like, did we have the best day today or what? She goes, Mommy, it was the best. And she said, I love you. And I said, sweetheart, I love you. And we were like, oh, we're so cozy right now. And then she stops and there's this pause and she goes, wouldn't it be hilarious if a missile came through my window? And we both went. Why would you say that? God. We're having such a sweet moment. We're having such a sweet moment right now. She goes, oh, no, it is. It's great. But wouldn't it just be so funny? And all of a sudden we're like, I love you. I love you.
That's hilarious.
Dude, it's terrifying sometimes.
Well, it's the extremes. She was seeing comedy is extremes. It's misdirection. So you are at your most vulnerable. Like, people are afraid to snuggle and be open and say, I love you and say, this is a great moment, because you're afraid you can be hurt in nature if you're like that. And so she thought, what's the most offensive, destructive, a missile? That's really kind of interesting. Yeah. Well, my daughter is the same way. My daughter is like a comedy savant. Her and her friend riff together. I cannot keep up. They are so quick and voices. And also there's this thing that our kids do that we didn't, you know, we always had cultural references, whether it was Caddyshack or Animal House or, you know, but they have memes that they draw from, that they have lingo and memes that flow in and out of their conversation that make it like, it's kind of an interesting musical tempo. And
yes,
but I want to bring up one funny thing my daughter said when we were when she was about six. There was two kids that lived in the back, that in the house behind us, and my two kids and their two, same age, and they were just like, they were a hurricane. They just went from house to house destroying things. So I come into the bathroom and the shower curtain has been ripped down. It's hanging on by one link. And so I say, everybody in here, Riley, Owen, JoJo, Courtney, everybody in here, in the bathroom. And I said, Courtney, did you pull down the curtain? And she said, no. I said, Riley, did you pull down the curtain? He said, nope. Owen, did you pull down the curtain? He said, no. JoJo, who's my daughter, JoJo, did you pull down the curtain? And she goes, no, I didn't. But what would happen if I did? Like, like she wanted to know the punishment she missed She's out like, on by lying.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
But let's play out. Like, let's say I did. That's really funny. Oh my God. I don't know how did you do it through the teenage years? Because I my son's going to be 14 in a couple months. And then my dad's going to be 77 in a couple months. And I feel like they're the same person. Like I have to explain everything to them.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
How do you not know? And how do you not know? But they're both the same now.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's wild this time of life where you're raising kids and then you're slowing parents. Like, it's horrible. It's horrible.
Well, you got to take yourself out of the equation and get your teenager showing your father how to do his emails. And, you know, there's this amazing thing. Like, my kids fucking love their grandparents and all their grandparents. They never met my father. And Aaron's father died about 2 years ago, but they were pretty close to him. But the grandmothers, like, it's just you don't have to do anything. You just leave them alone and you can go. They fucking thrive on being with each other. And they're going to go down to Florida. My mom lives in Florida. Well, she lives there now. We'll see what happens after hurricane number two. But they're going to go down to just the two of them. My two kids are going to fly down for a week and just stay at her place in Florida and hang out. They love it. She taught them how to play poker.
That as teenagers.
Yeah. Yeah.
We were. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Before we go, okay. I got some questions I'm going to ask you. These are called fastballs with fits.
Okay.
Everybody answers the same questions. If you were trans, would you rather have been a woman who was born a man or a man who was born a woman?
I think a woman, a man who was born a woman. So what I would be now, like biologically a woman, and then I'd transition into a man, right?
Why?
Because penises are crazy.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I don't know what it's like to have one. And I mean, God bless you if you have one. Like, wow.
Yeah.
Thank you for your service.
I wish
I
got.
But I don't want to have one. I just don't.
Yeah.
I just feel like, ugh.
So you would transition to a man with no penis. You're not going to get the surgery. Okay.
Yeah. No. I don't think I'd want to get a surgery.
Would you remove your breasts?
Nah.
Well, then you're not transitioning.
Well,
what are you talking
why
about?
Ask this question.
I don't know. It's a new one. Fastballs with fits. We always throw a few new questions in fastballs with fits.
All right.
Have you ever won an award?
yes. Oh my God. What was it?
Clearly not a. Emmy.
Not important. Not an important one. Like, not like you. I've seen your Emmys.
No, but it's important. Well, not only that, I was also.
Is that Taekwondo? What is that?
Yeah, this is my son's Taekwondo chair.
I did win some gold medals. I did as a kid.
In what?
400 yard dash.
No!
And long jump.
Damn. 400 yards is not a dash.
I know. I think maybe
for you it was because you were winning.
Yeah.
The other kids were running it. You were dashing it.
I was like, F these kids.
Damn. Did you run through high school?
No. This was when I was younger.
Okay.
I ran through the Police Athletic League. Remember mm-hmm. that? Remember PAL?
You would think the police wouldn't want young people to run faster. All right. Have you ever not finished a set on stage?
No. And boy, have I had opportunities to walk off.
Yeah.
Just last week, I was in Reno at the Laugh Factory inside the beautiful Silver Legacy because I'm a blue collar worker.
Yeah.
And a guy vomited in the middle of my set and I just kept going. I was like, I don't know. I mean, you guys want to move up? And these people moved up one table and then And we just kept going. I was like, it's Reno. I don't think it's going to make any difference at all.
How is Reno? I haven't been there in so long. I've kind of always had a soft spot for Reno.
It's like a soft spot, like in a baby's head where it's bad news.
Well, it just reminds me of what Vegas used to be a little bit.
You know, Reno's fine. It's fine. I love the Laugh Factory. They always take care of me. They're really, you know, but it was a Harley like motorcycle convention.
Oh no.
So just thousands of motorcycle gangs.
Whoa.
Thousands. And they were all tatted up and the women had like, you know, tattoo. When a woman has a tattoo on her face, that is jail time. That's just, you know, we got drunk one night and I got a fish on my thigh. You know what I mean? Like, no, this is like, these are the gangs I have represented.
Yeah.
Years. So of course the first thing I say when I get on stage at Reno is like, I am so glad that you guys are here. I love it. And you've all been paroled, so that's good news. Yeah, a lot of leathery faces, leathery clothes.
Yeah.
And then once in the middle of a show, and this was the south side of Chicago, and it was a primarily black club, but they like to headline me. I have no idea why.
Oh, I think I know that club.
Yeah, it's been closed for a while.
Okay.
Yes, Southside. This guy in the middle of my set stands up and flips his table over with all the drinks because the waitress, who was also black, and the customer was black, asked him to pay in advance.
Oh, shit.
And drinks went flying, and he stood up and he flipped the table over, and everyone scattered, and I'm on stage. And I can't remember what I said exactly. It was a while ago, but I remember saying something to the fact of, something to like, it's a 2-drink minimum, sir, and those are not going to count. I said something like, I'm sorry, but the rules here, you have to order another 2 drinks. Something to that effect. And people were like, this white girl, I remember hearing someone go, this white chick is crazy. Because instead of being scared, I doubled down on it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I was like, you know what? We said no Discover card. Like I yelled at him. Like it was so ballsy. So I could have ended that set. I did not. I kept going.
Oh, good for you.
While people were cleaning up. And
Yep.
Cops came. I kept going.
Cops came?
Oh, cops came. Yes.
You know, I don't think I've ever flipped a table, and I feel like it's on my bucket list. Just because you want to be that guy. Maybe you're the guy that shows up to work the next day, and did you have fun last night? Yeah. Flip the table. Oh, wait, you're freezing. Still there?
I am.
All right. We're back. Okay.
Sorry.
Kira Sultanovich, final question of the podcast. What's the hackiest bit you've ever done?
Oh, so many to choose from. Well, because, you know, when you're starting out.
Yeah.
I mean, I did a hacky bit the other night. I'm not proud of it.
Okay.
It was a really old joke. And through crowd work, it kind of fit.
Yeah.
So I just said it, and I haven't said it in a really long time. But a while ago, when I got engaged, so this is how old I've been married to my husband 16 years. That's how old this bit is. A long, long, long time ago. Do you remember it was like a big deal to get conflict-free diamonds?
Yes.
So
not blood diamonds.
Yeah, blood, yeah. Exactly. Now, as she asked me, she goes, is your diamond conflict free? Is your ring conflict free? And I said, ever since I got this thing, it's been nothing but conflict. So stupid. It's so stupid. But I said
it's kind of, you know what it is? It's one of those jokes that presents itself. The math all checks out. You run the numbers and you go, nope. That absolutely works, and I'm going to do it.
It's a silly joke.
Yep.
And I don't know why, after a decade, I haven't done it in over a decade, it came up the other night, and I was like, I felt dirty.
I'm going to ask you that for the rest of our lives. Whenever I see you, I'm going to ask you, I'm going to give you the setup to that bit. And hopefully they were at a party and people are around, and I'm going to set you up to fucking spike it.
I love it. I'll do it. I'll do it.
I'll just walk up and go, here, is that a conflict-free diamond? That's it. And then I'll watch your eyes go wide with excitement.
You know, I'll do anything for the bit. I really will.
I have a bit with my kids that I insist, ever since they were like 5 years old, I have insisted they do this bit. I walk in the room, and if they're like splayed out on the couch with their legs up, I'll go, are you comfortable? And then they have to say, I make a nice living.
That's the best. That is the best. Here's what I taught my kids to do. Whenever they get a birthday card, I'm trying to see if I have anything. They get a birthday card. I taught them to open it up and then like, where's the check?
Yeah. That's good. That's good. I like that.
And then you kind of look in it and look around.
Especially when it's from another kid. Like,
yes. I have taught them. I do it. I do it to my husband.
Oh, I can't wait for my next holiday.
I shake it and I go, something's wrong here.
All right, Kira, you are absolutely the best, and people are going to be able to see you when they go to Ann Arbor at the Comedy Showcase on October 17th to the 19th. Then you'll be at the Laugh Factory in Covina on October 24th. Any other dates you want to yell at?
I do. You know, I haven't updated my website in a couple of weeks. I'm going to be at Big Bear with Adam Carolla.
Oh, yeah. They actually asked me to do that, and I'm out of town. That's going to be a blast.
November 15th and 16th. So come on.
Yeah, they told me you guys were doing it. And I was like, man, that would have been so much fucking fun. Yeah. They're going big on that. I think there's going to be another big name on the show.
I think Kevin Nealon's doing it.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I think Nealon's doing it. He's great. I love him.
All right. Great. Well, also check out, what's the name of this sauna series?
Let's Get Sweat. It's called Let's Get Sweat.
And people can find that on YouTube.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Kira, thank you so much. You're the greatest. And let's get in your sauna soon.
Naked.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.